And we're back. Great to have you with us. Rush Limbaugh behind a golden EIB microphone, executing assigned host duties flawlessly. Zero mistakes. By the way, a new flash opinion auditing report has just been received by my official opinion auditing firm in Sacramento, California, the Sullivan Group, with my bipartisan stimulus proposal. My accuracy rating has now jumped a full tenth of a point to where I am now documented to be almost always right 98.9% of the time. The bipartisan Obama-Limbaugh stimulus proposal for 2009 is now posted for one and all to see and gaze upon at rushlimbaugh.com. If you missed the announcement of this proposal last hour, you can go to rushlimbaugh.com right now and read it for yourself. British scientists, ladies and gentlemen, reporting that obesity can be caught as easily as a common cold from other people's coughs, sneezes, and dirty hands. Researchers believe that an airborne adenovirus germ could be causing the fat plague that is blighting Britain and other countries. As many as one in three fat people may have become overweight after falling victim to the highly infectious cold-like virus known as AD36. It is known to cause coughs, sore throats, diarrhea, and conjunctivitis, but has now also been found to make fat cells multiply, leading to weight gain. The shocking discovery will add to evidence that Britain's fat epidemic is not simply down to an unhealthy diet or a lack of exercise. Research suggests that a third of UK adults will be fat within 3 years, with Britain even predicted to overtake America as the most fat nation in the world. Experts already believe that genes can make some people more susceptible to weight gain, and now it seems that infections could also hold the key. This is fascinating, is it not? That essentially a strain of the common cold virus can cause you to catch fatness, can cause you to catch obesity. What are you shaking your head in there for, Dawn? See, anything that comes along that dispels this old notion that you've got to exercise to lose weight is going to immediately just be distracted and thrown away with. I see this as another reason to use Zicam. Well, I do. I had a cold last week, folks. Without Zicam, I would probably have missed 2 or 3 days last week. It limited the suffering to 5 days, manageable, hardly bad at all. And the fact is it works. It's the best thing. And I've talked to so many people who try it after I have suggested it. Now, here's another reason. You never know when this fat cold is going to be spreading around out there. And certainly you don't want the fat cold virus lingering. And Zicam stops the common cold, I assume that it would also stop this. The cold's a cold. Now, Barack Obama. I was just watching the press briefing by the brilliant Robert Gibbs. The most brilliant press secretary ever, did such a bang-up job during the campaign. Refers most of the press to Greg Craig for detailed answers to questions. And during the break at the top of the hour, when I'm in there watching with Snerdly, he said something that this haunts me. Something like this literally haunts me as a private sector capitalist entrepreneur extraordinaire. Robert Gibbs actually said that one of the things we're going to really work hard on here is executive compensation reform for companies that receive TARP money. Now, ladies and gentlemen, there are more and more companies receiving TARP money. This is the plan. When the government gives businesses bailout money, they control what's done with the money. It's no longer the private sector anymore. It's the government absorbing these companies. And now Obama wants to set pay limits for executives. And what is alarming about this to me is that you would assume that 54% of the American people are for something like this because they voted for Obama. There has been such a concerted attack on the private sector for years in this country, but it has really intensified in the past 6 to 8 years. And then the economic crisis hit, banking and so forth, and Democrats and Obama did everything they could to make everybody think that it was private sector fault, that it was Wall Street fault, when most of the blame for this can be laid squarely at the feet of Congress and a couple of former presidents, Jimmy Carter and Bill Clinton. So this is what, if you let the government determine what some executives can make, it's not a stretch to assume that it won't be long before the government determines what anybody can make. And that is what is on the agenda here. The nationalization of as much of the private sector as possible. And this guy is sprinting so fast, so far to the left with these executive orders. Just today he announced all these things to get rid of he criticized the Bush administration for not telling the truth about climate change and global warming. We're going to revise those. Yet, the Pew Center for People in the Press last week released the results of a survey. It was the percentage of Americans rating each issue a top priority. At the bottom of the list is global warming. 30% of the American people list global warming as the top priority, and it's at the bottom of the list. And there are, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 20 or 21 things on this list. And it's at the bottom. 85% said the economy is number one. Jobs, 82% said. That's number two. 76% said terrorism. 76% said terrorism, number three. Social Security, 63%, was number four. Education was number five at 61%. Energy at 60% was number six. All the way down to the bottom is global warming. So we've apparently won this issue, yet it doesn't matter. So we need executive compensation reform. And sadly, I'm afraid that a lot of Americans believe that that's a good thing. They want to really make the rich suffer, and they think it's going to improve their lives. Now, from the AP, this is an amazing story. AP, a story on China and its carbon credits program, the cap and trade program, and this story basically says that carbon credits are junk. The hydroelectric dam, a low wall of concrete slicing across an old farming valley, is supposed to help a power company in distant Germany contribute to saving the climate while putting lucrative carbon credits into the pockets of Chinese developers. But in the end, the new dam may do nothing to lower global warming emissions as advertised, and many of the 7,500 people displaced by the project still seethe over losing their homes and farmland. So people have been kicked off of their homes, out of their homes and off their land, to build this dam with a carbon trade program with Germany, and it hasn't worked. And the AP is reporting this. You know, it's hard to understand the whole carbon credit smoke and mirror plan, but the UN, what the UN is doing is using the cap and trade program to force land away from people in less developed countries or less developed parts of countries while doing nothing of any significance to help the environment. The developing world, in this case China, is being paid money, mostly from Europe, to build hydroelectric dams. And when those dam locations include natural habitat or people's homes, the natural habitat and the people's homes are obliterated and the dams are being built. China siphons money, hundreds of millions of dollars, through carbon credits from Europe and other Kyoto idiots of the developed world. This is exactly what Obama wants to do here. Siphon money from rich America to the rest of the developing world for hydroelectric dams and other projects that are not helping anybody but the carbon credit buyers and sellers, particularly the sellers. The cap-and-trade program has been documented to fail in parts of Europe and parts of Australia. Now it's documented to fail in China, and yet we're going to do it here. It's part of his environmental plan. And even in these poor countries, which is supposedly that these are the people that are supposed to benefit from all this, the poor, being kicked off of their land, losing their homes to the extent that they have land and homes, all in the name of a hoax. I got to take a quick time out here, folks. Be patient. We'll be back and continue right after this. Ha! How are you? Welcome back. Robert Gibbs was just asked about me by Major Garrett of Fox News. During his presidential briefing, we have the soundbite. Major Garrett asked Robert Gibbs, the press secretary, look, when the president said, I won, what does that mean? And the comment about Rush Limbaugh, what did he mean by that?
Tell him I said hi. The first one, and I think I've had this conversation, I think Rob has had this conversation with a few of you, there were discussions about the exact composition of tax cuts, different types of tax cuts. The president ran on a series of tax cuts that are some of which are and some of which aren't in the recovery and reinvestment plan. Republicans had other tax cuts and ideas. The president said that he felt confident with the tax cuts that he'd run on, that the people had weighed in on what they thought might be a good way to stimulate the economy. He said he won, and the next thing that happened is everybody laughed. So this wasn't cowboy diplomacy. This was, I think, a rather lighthearted moment in a meeting that he was pleased to host in order to have Democrats and Republicans talk extensively about their ideas for getting this economy moving.
Now, wait a minute. That he's talking about the I won comment there. I'm trying to maintain my composure here and not yell and shout. It was a lighthearted moment in a meeting that he was pleased to host in order to have Democrats and Republicans talk extensively about their ideas about getting the economy moving. He shut down the conversation on tax cuts by saying, nope, I'm going to trump that. I won. He shut it down. He was eliminating all talk in that meeting about tax cuts with the I won comment, which was made to Eric Cantor from Virginia, who was from one that proposed the tax cuts. So, you know, I have a proposal. It's at rushlimbaugh.com. I spent my first monologue in the second hour today detailing this. It is serious, it is genuine, and it is bipartisan. It is the essence of bipartisan. Now, I'll give you the nut of it. The nut of it is he wants to spend $1 trillion in stimulus. He got 54% of the vote. He lost 46% of the vote. So he gets $540 billion to spend his way with his infrastructure and all that. And I get $460 billion. The Republicans get $460 billion to spend their way. Tax cuts, corporate, capital gains, real estate tax cuts. And we'll see side by side which one works so that we will know the next recession what to do. And it's genuinely bipartisan, and it's designed to stop the acrimony now. It's designed to get the economy going today. Dow Jones Industrial Average is flirting at zero. After all these executive orders, after all these economic plans, after this press conference today with Gibbs, the Dow Jones Industrial Average is not moving. Markets look to Washington to get some idea on the future. That's not good, but that's the way it is. And they're not liking what they see. Markets aren't. My plan, they would love. And I offered it. Folks, this is not a gimmick. And it's not a trick. It's not a ploy of any kind. It was a serious proposal. It's at www.rushlimbaugh.com. Jack in Leesburg, Virginia. Great to have you on the program, sir. Hello.
Rush?
Yeah.
It's an honor to be on.
Thank you very much, sir.
I had a comment from an earlier in your monologue or your discussion with where Nancy Pelosi was explaining how the funding of contraceptives was going to be a stimulus because it would eliminate additional taxpayers down the line.
People,
yeah, exactly. And they're all I have to say is they're consistently inconsistent. They provide us with an S-CHIP program that they're going to fund by raising the taxes on tobacco products, but they don't quite meet the need in that they'd have to have another 22 million smokers in the country in order to fund the program. You just mentioned...
No, see, let me tell you about that.
Yeah.
See, this is the dirty little secret on the S-CHIP program. They say that they're going to raise tobacco taxes to pay for it so that most people in the country don't smoke.
Mm-hmm.
So that, okay, fine, make those smokers pay it. Well, as you point, there aren't enough smokers
mm-hmm.
to pay for this. So guess what? Guess whose taxes are going to be raised when the tobacco tax doesn't generate what it needs? You, the non-smokers, are then going to start contributing. It's just a trick to get you to support the whole concept of a tax increase to pay for child health care.
Yep.
This is not a mistake. This is purposeful. I'll tell you something else about Pelosi. This notion that fewer people is an economic stimulus. Somebody needs to explain to me how we're going to pay for Social Security for people who are in their 30s and 40s now if we have fewer babies born and fewer people working and fewer people paying the FICA tax. The whole Social Security program is based on a bunch of young skulls full of mush being born and raised to be good little liberals to pay high taxes to support mom and dad and granny and grandpa while they're sitting around gumming it in the old folks' home.
Yep. And on top of that, Rush, then they're going to... They'll raise taxes on the producers in the country, but as they take over the different industries, they're going to reduce executive compensation. Well, they'll be reducing their tax income from those producers at the same time.
Yeah, and the New York governor is finding this out. These bonuses that don't exist on Wall Street are shutting down restaurants, shutting down. I mean, the AP even ran a story on how the affluent are not spending as much and how this is hurting the economy. This is all populist stuff. This is designed. Look, most people are not executives. Most people have been made to hate executives. This is about entrenching the Democrat Party in eternal power. You go out and say, I'm going to make these evil auto execs and the Merrill Lynch guys, I'm going to make it Wall Street people, whatever, we're going to cap their compensation. No more $1 million a year, no more bonuses. And everybody in the country is supposed to go, yeah, good. That's right. Serve them right. These people have been raping us and screwing us. Let them find out what it's like to live like we do. And then, no benefit accrues to the people who support this, but they think the Democrats are really behind them. They think the Democrats are really for them. The Democrats really understand their plight. The Democrats are going out and getting even with all these evil businessmen and women. And so, you vote Democrat every 2 years because you think the Democrats are for you. You're the little guy. You are getting shafted royally. Your jobs are being cut. Your wages aren't going to go up. But you think the Democrats are all for you. And that's the problem with liberal Democrat policies. They're always aimed at a little guy, and a little guy is the one who gets savaged. The little guy is the one who gets hurt. Remember that girls' basketball game in Dallas? 100-0. They fired the coach. The coach of a Texas high school basketball team that beat another team 100-0 was fired. The same day, he sent an email to a newspaper saying he will not apologize for a wide margin victory when his girls played with honor and integrity. Kyle Quill, the headmaster for Covenant School, said in the Dallas Morning News Online Edition he could not answer if the firing was a direct result of Coach Micah Grimes' email disagreeing with administrators who called the blowout shameful. 100-0. Fired a coach. That's... I think most people probably think it was a good move. Fire the coach is just unfair. Unfair to humiliate a team like that. Speaking of children, ladies and gentlemen, one girl's basketball team mauling another 100-0 and a coach getting fired. Do you think the coach should have been fired for that? Well, apparently he got fired not after the game because he sent a newspaper or letters, and we're proud. We're proud of this. I'm proud the way my girls played with the dignity and so forth. Who scheduled this game? How in the world do you end up with an opponent that can't score 2 points? I know, but both teams are girls, Snurdly. Both teams are girls. Who's... Anyway, since we're talking about children, this is from Reuters. All work and no play may be a hazard for some U.S. school children. Researchers reported today that a growing trend of curbing free time at school may lead to unruly classrooms and rob youngsters of needed exercise and an important chance to socialize. We're talking about recess here, right? Which they've canceled in large part in school because kids got hurt out there. These little kids got hurt in recess, so they cancel recess, and they keep them inside and do things, and they don't want the insurance problems of a fractured skull or maybe a little, you know, a cut finger or what have you. And then they then go into this. Researchers also found that children not getting recess were more likely to be black, from poor families, and attending public schools in large cities. Researchers found that children not getting recess were more likely to be black, from poor families, and attend public schools in large cities. And then they said this is causing obesity as well. We've now learned that the cold virus causes obesity. You catch obesity. It has nothing to do with exercise. But if these kids need less food, not if it's not less work. If they actually did any work, this is the problem. If kids in school actually did any work, I might support the premise of this story. The poor children, I'm stunned because I thought that none of this was supposed to exist anymore once Obama was serving in orifice. From the Honolulu Advertiser, homeless service providers are supporting a proposed state-funded program that would provide airplane tickets for people who have come to Hawaii from the mainland and then find themselves homeless and stuck. Find themselves homeless. They go to Hawaii from the mainland and find themselves homeless. How does this happen? They got on an airplane, which costs money, somewhere here in the mainland. For you Obama voters, that would mean anywhere from California to New York, Texas to Minneapolis, Minnesota. They fly to Hawaii, and they get off the plane, and they find themselves homeless. So what Hawaii homeless service providers are doing is proposing a state-funded program that would provide return tickets to get them the hell out of the state. State Representative Rita Cabanilla, chairwoman of the Housing Committee, said she plans to ask for $100,000 this legislative session for a pilot program that would fly people who have recently arrived from the mainland to find themselves homeless, fly them back to where they came from. This ought to be called the Get Them Out of Here Now program. How do you get on an airplane and find yourself homeless? I'm kind of tickled here by the semantics of this. Oh, wow. Hey, certainly, you and I get an airplane. We go to Hawaii. Neither of us have a house there. You get off the airplane. Whoa, I'm homeless. Certainly, we don't have a home. What do we do? Oh, well, let's go get some tickets to go back to where we came from, where we presumably did have a home. Micah. Micah in Rushmore, Minnesota, nice to have you on the EIB network. Hello.
Oh, it's an honor, Rush.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah, if I may be so bold to offer an amendment to your stimulus package, to really prove which system works better or what the downfalls of each one are, the monies need to be divided up by state. You know, red states, blue states, they get the plans accordingly.
Nope. This is about America. I said in the proposal, the economy is not conservative or liberal. Jobs are not liberal or conservative, Republican or Democrat. We need jobs in this country. People are out of work, and they're 1,000 people at Starbucks, 5,000 people at Microsoft, 10,000 people at Home Depot. We need jobs. I don't know what the hell building a school is going to do to create a job at Home Depot or get a job back at Starbucks, but I do know what tax cuts might do. Cut their corporate tax rates. Cut the capital gains tax rate. Cut the investment tax rate. Cut all these business taxes and watch jobs come back all over the country. No, we're not going to do this. This is about genuine leadership. This is not about partisan politics. This is the only bipartisan proposal that is out there. There is no other bipartisan proposal that exists. And I mean this in the bottom of my heart. Obama's plan is not bipartisan. His version of bipartisan is when Republicans are in a meeting and agree with the Democrat plan. Nancy Pelosi's definition of bipartisan is when Republicans are in the meeting. They don't even have to say it. When they're in the meeting, it's bipartisan. My definition of bipartisan is bipartisan. No amendments. It doesn't need to be changed. The tax cuts that are in it can be tweaked, but they are going to be business-oriented. And this will call, and the whole point of this, let Obama spend his money the way he wants, side by side with our tax cuts. Well, his portion of the stimulus plan, $560 billion is what he would get of the $1 trillion. We would get 460. Our money would be in the tax cuts. 460 billion. Side by side. We implement both sides. We see which one works. So that the next time we have a recession, we have to go through this division and rancor and partisanship, because the economy is about people. The country is about people. I want people working. I want this to be a great country. I want it a productive country. I want people doing what they love. I want people with the opportunity to amass prosperity for themselves and their families. I don't want panic. I don't want crisis. I want a great country which requires great individuals. Great individuals need to be told they're great sometimes. They need to be inspired to do great things. Not everybody's a self-starter. It's time, ladies and gentlemen, to put all this acrimony aside. The economy should not be about partisan politics. It's time to stop the acrimony. It's time to start solving our problems together. There's no reason to wait another day for this. You can read my proposal in detail at www.rushlimbaugh.com. This is so sad, ladies and gentlemen. Afghanistan President Hamid Karzai condemned a U.S. military operation he said that killed 16 Afghan civilians, while hundreds of villagers denounced the American military during an angry demonstration Sunday. Hamid Karzai said the killing of innocent Afghans during U.S. military operations is strengthening the terrorists. This is the attack last week that the Obama administration mounted from the drone that killed 16 Pakistanis in Afghanistan on the border. Obama was always accusing the U.S. military of killing innocent civilians, along with John Kerry was doing this, during the debates on the Iraq War. And now the Obama military has been accused of the same thing by Afghan President Hamid Karzai. Who would have thought it? This is Marcia from San Diego. Marcia, I'm glad you called. Welcome to the Rush Limbaugh program.
Hello, Rush.
Hi.
I'm just calling because as I get ready for work in the morning, sometimes I have the news morning shows on the background. And this morning, I happened to land on our Good Morning San Diego show. And yet another shining example of the complete inability of liberals to speak the truth regarding you came up. I stopped for a moment because they said they were going to be discussing the fairness doctrine with the local radio talk show host Rick Amato. So that had me stop, especially when he said, and yet again, Rush Limbaugh has said that he hopes Obama fails. And they went on with the discussion, and then, of course, the male host brought it up two more times that, yes, Rush has said that his desire is for Obama to fail, and the female host piped in, oh, how un-American. I was just seething because I have listened to you for years and, of course, recently, have never heard you say anything other than you hope his policies fail, not him. I want to clarify, did you say anything over the weekend that you wanted Obama to fail so that in my response to them, because I plan to call them and tell them and help them see the truth?
No.
So have you said anything recently?
No.
I didn't think you had. I just wanted to be sure because as a conservative, I try to speak the truth, and I wanted to be able to defend you, with the correct...
Let me tell you what has happened here, and this is very typical of these, amoeba brain-celled local television news people.
What a correct description.
They read news accounts that are themselves flawed. None of these people ever call me like you. You're not even a journalist, and you called me to find out what I said. They never call.
Yeah.
You're a better journalist than these brain-dead Ken and Cub Barbie doll cookie-cutter models that are now local TV info babes and anchors. What happened was I got sick and tired, Marcia, of hearing so many people say, I hope Obama succeeds. On my side, so many Republicans, elected Republicans, were saying, we want the new president to succeed. And I got a request the Friday before the inauguration from a newspaper asking me for 400 words on what my hopes for Obama were. And I went through this lengthy monologue by saying, folks, I do not want what Obama is doing to work. I don't want more socialism in America. I don't want more liberalism. Liberalism is what's gotten us to the problems we have now. Why would I want more of it? I do not want him to succeed. And I think it's a mistake for Republicans to say that because they know what he's about, too. This business of hoping he succeeds is based on the historical nature of his candidacy and his election and the fear to be critical of him. I went through all of this that I'm saying to you now. And then I ended it by saying, so I don't need 400 words. I only need four. I want him to fail. Well, this whole monologue was ignored. Those four words made the news story. Your Ken and Barbie anchor and anchorette out there probably just read that. They were, because the AP, nobody reported this in proper context, never do, and that's how all of this got started.
Okay. That's what I thought. I just wanted to be sure.
Why would anybody, I mean, I'm a conservative. Everybody knows this. I've even been, in fact, since last Thursday or Friday, Marcia, just to tweak these people, I've been saying, hey, I support the president, I just don't support his policies.
Yes, which is accurate, and I believe that as well. And you certainly never had, Pelosi and Frank, all of them being asked under Bush's administration, do you hope for President Bush's success or failure? Well,
they never once wanted him to succeed. They tried
Absolutely.
To destroy Bush before he was inaugurated.
Absolutely.
This whole thing is nothing more than a typical liberal media straw dog. This is no different than they took me out of the context of the Michael J. Fox thing or any number of things like this.
I remember that.
They do it on purpose because I'm the threat, I guess.
I guess. You certainly are. You're the only one speaking the truth on a national level, and they can't have that.
Let me ask you, are you aware that Obama wants me to fail?
Oh, absolutely.
Are you aware that he told the House Republicans on Friday they should stop listening to me?
Absolutely.
Richard Nixon had a list of names on a piece of paper called the enemies list, and that was in the impeachment file on him that Congress was preparing. Here you have a president actually targeting a private citizen. Don't listen to this guy. This is not how things get done. And everybody's running around applauding, and your bimbo and bimbette out there are calling me un-American.
Yes, and can you imagine had President Bush said he hoped that any of the, Rachel Maddow would fail or, Chris Matthews would just tinkle.
If Bush had said, don't listen to Chris Matthews, that's not how things go.
That's the complete utter hypocrisy.
That'd be putting a war crimes trial investigation.
Yes. Well, thank you. You do a great job. It was a pleasure talking with you.
Thanks very much, Marsha. I'd stop watching those people. Do you realize how vacuous and vacant most local news is anymore? Do you really need to wake up with Wake Up San Diego? Ladies and gentlemen, I have a quick question for you. As we close out yet another exciting excursion into broadcast excellence, do you believe that President Obama wants the Republican Party to succeed? Do you, and I ask this also but very slowly for you people at Wake Up San Diego, whatever the hell the show is, do you believe Obama wants the conservative movement to succeed? Do you think Obama wants talk radio to succeed? Answer to all three is undoubtedly no, correct? So when are you going to call him un-American? You bimbets, bimbos, idiots.